The final step in transforming your limiting beliefs into more resourceful beliefs, or pulling weeds, planting seeds, is to ask yourself this question. If the first one is, what am I feeling? And the second one is, what story have I chosen? What story am I telling myself? And the third one is, how is this story serving me? And now that you've given permission, you've affirmed, you've validated its service, how it was useful, now you have the freedom to choose a different story. So the fourth step is, what story feels better? What story could serve me better? What story provides some emotional relief? See, your emotions are here to guide you. Remember that. Now, when I first moved to Phoenix, I'm in Phoenix now, when I moved here for the first time, I was in my 30s and I had never mountain biked in my life, and I took it up as a little bit of a sport. And it was a mistake to take it up at age 30 because, see, by that time your prefrontal cortex has developed, which means that you actually are aware of life and death and your mortality. And so when I would go mountain biking, I would have this problem, which is I'd be white knuckling my way down a mountain. You know, you want to learn when you're like 14, 15, or 16, when you're pretty sure you're invincible, because you actually relax and mountain bike much better. And there was this one path, it was a single track, there was, you know, just room for one bike at a time, and it was kind of at a along the edge of a mountain. And so on one side there was a fairly sheer drop off, on the other side there was a big mountain, and it's at a pitch where you can only slow down so much, the bike just has to go. And there was this one rock right in the middle of the path. Every time I would be staring at that on the way down, going, whatever you do, do not hit the rock, do not hit the rock, do not hit the rock. And what do you think happened every single time? I hit the rock. And the reason I hit the rock, I learned later. I was biking with a guy who was way more skilled than me, a lot more experienced. He'd been biking since he was 16. And he said to me, hey, Shane, do you mind if I give you some advice? And I said, please do, absolutely. And he said, you know that when you're biking down and you keep hitting that rock, one of the reasons is because you're probably looking at the rock. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly right. I don't want to hit it. And he said, okay, so here's what you should do. Whatever you do, do not look at the rock. I'm like, okay. And he said, focus your eyes wherever you want the bike to go, not where you want to avoid. And the reason is because you're going so fast that you can't tell your body what to do. And you will notice that your body, the muscles and biomechanics of your body, will simply align to wherever your eyes are, wherever you're looking. Everything will just align naturally. So I went up and I did the route again. And sure enough, everything in my body clearly aligned. I looked right at the path next, you know, there's a little path on either side, a little road on either side of the rock. And I kept my eyes focused on that little area, not the rock, tried to ignore it, and I kept focused. And sure enough, I went right through, no problem. And the reason was because energy follows attention. So this is just a little story to illustrate this larger issue we're exploring, which is the story you choose is revealing your focus of attention. What is your habit of focus? Where do you tend to focus your attention? Are you focused on issues of relationality, mutuality, power? Who's doing more? Are you focused on issues of threat and security? Are you focused on issues of peace and harmony? Whatever your focus is, that's a habit you tell. Those are the lenses you wear that will determine how you render your reality. So what's your habit? So now that you know that, you get to consciously choose, instead of looking at the rock, which produced this result, I'm going to focus my attention now on the road. So is there another story you could choose? And remember now the gauge, the emotional gauge. This is the determiner that you will use to determine whether or not the story you're telling is a better, more resourceful story. As you go up the gauge, as your emotions climb, it means you're telling a better story, a more resourceful story. It means you're pulling some thought weeds. And here's a really important dynamic to pay attention to. We cannot skip from despair all the way up to joy or ecstasy like that. It isn't how we're made. It's sort of like momentum that gets developed. You have to build momentum. If there's a spinning merry-go-round going at a high speed, if you try to get on it, it's going to throw you right off. So whatever speed you're at, you've got to step on when it's going nice and slow so that it can build slowly. So that's the same thing here. You want to begin to pay attention to stories that give you relief, not necessarily make you into a joyful, ecstatic being. It depends on where you start from the story. So if you are starting with despair, rage creates relief. And from there, you can produce a story that generates anger. Anger, in that case, is an improvement from despair. So you can see how in all of these things, curiosity becomes anticipation, which becomes excitement. These are the ways you tell the story. You're asking the question, does this story provide a little bit of relief? Now, sometimes you're going to tell yourself a story, you're going to choose a story that is simply a bridge too far. It's the merry-go-round spinning way too fast, and you can't get on it. When you try to tell it, it throws you right off, and you're like, see, that was BS. I knew it. I'm telling the right story. It's just impossible because there isn't a better story because this thing is a disaster. All that tells you is that you chose a story that's just a little too high up on the gauge for where you are. You have to respect where you are. And so when you're in a spot that is really bad and no story seems to change it and you can't seem to access any better, more resourceful belief, and you're like, Shane and all your stupid stuff about beliefs, shut up, I'm sick of it, right? When you're there, what you do is you change the subject completely. One of the best ways to reset our emotional set point is a nap, literally sleeping. If you set the intention that I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to clear my emotional life, and I'm going to choose a different thought when I wake up, you actually get a chance to reset your emotional life. Petting your dog or cat, going outside, taking a walk in nature, looking out at the sky, all of these things are actually ways that will begin to subtly just disengage us from this intensity long enough to decide how to re-engage the issue. So this is the wisdom of knowing how your emotional guidance system works and knowing how to deliberately, consciously choose better stories. And the reason all of this matters so much is because as a coach, you're going to start to notice not just your own patterns and how other people bring stories, but you're going to start to notice how the people you lead are telling stories that aren't fully true. They're true in one way, but they're incredibly limited. And your job as a leader and as a coach is to actually give them new frames, to expand the frames, to give them new perspectives, and to also know that you cannot force them onto the merry-go-round if it's going too fast. That's part of what staging the ascent is in the very first module where I talk about the learning ladder. It's partly about paying attention to this emotional gauge and respecting where people are, meeting them there and bringing them on just a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer, finding the right stories that produce just enough relief so that they can hear the next story. Now, in all of this, you have to remember one simple truth. It's really, really critical. Whenever you're in that spot where you can't seem to break free, when you're like, I'm stuck and no storytelling is changing and petting my dog isn't working, I napped and I woke up and I'm still frustrated, whenever you're there, just remember to tell yourself this fundamental truth. In this process of working with your emotional guidance system, you never get it finished and you cannot get it wrong. You never get it done and you can't get it wrong. And that alone can provide just enough relief so that you can keep at it. So that's the four-step process by which you transform limiting beliefs into positive beliefs. What am I feeling? What story am I telling myself? How's the story serving me? What story might serve me better? Take this, work through it. I've got some worksheets in these various videos to try to give you some templates and tools to ask questions to help you through it. I hope you'll take it on. I hope you'll take it seriously, and I'll look forward to seeing you in the next video.